ain't gonna sit around bellyache about things not being like they ought to be. You'll make them be like they ought to be. Take the situation into your own hands. That's faith. God, you determine your fate with your faith. So he cried down the side of the mountain. He said to the young man that'll come and whip them anacs on that other side. See, I guarantee there's more on that other side than there was on the side he cleared out, because they went on the other side to get away from him. That young fella had to have a profile of courage, and that jaw jutted out there worse than Samson. Boy, Othniel, the son of Kenaz, his own nephew, cried out, "Uncle Caleb, I'll do it!" Great day. He got his sword out and run up the side of that mountain and started tackling them Anakims. Them heads began to roll down the hill. That congregation stood there in awe and shock and at what they saw unfolding in this dramatic enactment of faith before their bewildering eyes. And at sundown, he had every one of them fellas killed and their heads down there at the feet of the congregation. His reward? You're going to be my son-in-law. I don't want a penny waste in my family. I don't want an old boy that just wants a sweet patootie. I want a man of faith, a hero of faith. I don't want just any old codger or any old gal in my family. Praise God. The time you wind up with it, it's your best efforts. But he didn't want it, and I oppose it. And I stand in eternal opposition to it, and I'm not going to bow to it. But his beautiful daughter Aks have come out to see what was going on. And Caleb says, "You can have her for your wife. You've been looking at her. You want her. Now you can have her." And when she heard that, the Bible said, she fell off of her donkey. That little boy standing there with that sword in one hand, one of them heads there in another hand, him all bloody. A hero of faith. That's the kind of guy I want to marry, she says. Boy, that was a beautiful union. What? He became the next judge of Israel. And he delivered Israel for 40 years out of the hands of all their enemies. Praise God! Faith provides for the future, not only for the present. You know, there used to be giants in the land, according to the Genesis 6 and 2. So there were four, there were also giants in the land in those days. There used to be giants in our land that walked the streets of the cities of America, that stood in the pulpits, that were a flame of righteousness. Like that great French ambassador that was the representative of France to the new founded Republic of America back in 1935, or 1835 rather. Alexis de Tocqueville. He was a godly man. And he says in his diary, it was found after his death, he walked the streets of American cities. He walked through their halls of government. He visited their waterfalls and saw their oceans. He visited their cities and looked on the great prairies and plains of this nation and said he always wondered how this nation became great in such a short length of time when it was barely an infant. It was a great nation. He said, "I never discovered it until I went across the Potomac from Washington into Virginia and visited a Sunday morning service in an old-fashioned church that had a man preaching that was a flame of righteousness in the pulpit. There I discovered the secret of America's greatness." And then he made this prophetic observation. He said, "America is great because America is good. But if America ever ceases to be good, then America will cease to be great." And as Hosea reprimanded Israel, so I reprimand America. Oh, America! Where is thy goodness? Thy goodness has gone away as the morning dew upon the ground. It's departed. And America has become a major offender of God's righteousness and is a ripe target for God's severe judgments to fall upon us very shortly. Our examples should not be these penny-waste preachers in the pulpits of American churches today. Why do young ministers and Christians want to emulate the lifestyle and the learning processes of modern Elmer Gantries and Playboys and Hollywood Christians and penny-waste and soothsaying preachers and teachers in our land? Why do they want to copycat them when the aggravating rascals are leading God's people back to Egypt and into the thundering judgments of God and most of them into hell, turning them away from the holiness of God? Most preachers today are ruled over by their wives and children and other women in their congregation. The old Jezebels flood the churches of America today. Isaiah 3:12, and back to that great prophet with that profile of courage. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of your paths. These preachers today, ruled over by mama and bud and sis, are misleading God's people into error and distorting the holiness of God and leading them on a path in a collision course with God's thundering judgments that's going to descend quickly upon the sick society and backslidden and idolatrous church of Jesus Christ. Our examples, ladies and gentlemen, should be Abraham and Sarah. If you want to model your home, your parenthood, being a wife or a husband, you should model after Abraham and Sarah. A man of God should model his life after Moses and Joshua and Joseph and Gideon and David and John the Baptist and Paul and Timothy. A true woman of God should model her life after Esther and Ruth and other great women in the Bible, like Sarah, who submitted to their husbands and held on to the promises of God to perform an activity in a course that their family had taken to preserve that legacy of faith for themselves, their descendants, right on down, far surpassing their lifetimes. Our examples aren't going to last, either good or bad, after you're dead, whether you like it or not. Your example is going to affect future generations, your lifestyle and your faith. And it is terrible what most Christians leave as a legacy. That's a curse instead of a blessing. Our example should even be Rahab the harlot. Not for a lifestyle, but for a faith. That woman saved her whole family. God, have mercy through faith. But are the profiles of preachers today, their examples, they're a bunch of wimps. They don't have a profile of courage in standing up dogmatically against the evildoers and rise up against the workers of iniquity for God. They don't say, "Lord, here am I, send me," when you've got to go out and reprove, exhort, and rebuke God's people and show them their sins and their iniquities. They're not volunteering for that. They're volunteering for a good, easy job. A soft bed in a nice, pleasing, air-cooled, air-conditioned parsonage. For a church that's already built. For a congregation that's already been organized. For a salary that's already been determined. For popularity and ease and pleasure that will result from that position. And they're a traitor to the cause of Jesus Christ. God, you meet a preacher today and you're meeting a, as I use that term often, a jackass. God calls them that. He said, "You're not to plow with an ox and an ass together," and it's talking about two different kind of preachers. An ox or an ass, as we say, a jackass. I've been criticized for that. Well, which is better to say, an ass or a jackass? Well, you got to say one or the other. I'm the ox. Now, if you don't want me to say it, you figure out what that other one is. Praise God. Now you know what he is. All right. I got to use these other few moments wisely. Matthew 23. I want to show you a revelation here of the Lord. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat.